Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Hind, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Parvati Ki Jai. So we're studying the questions by King Parikshit on text 25 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 25. Atra Pramanam Hi Bhavan. Parameshti Yathatma Bhu. Apare Chanutishthanti. Purvesham Purvajai Kritam. Atra Pramanam Hi Bhavan. Parameshti Yathatma Bhu. Apare Chanutishtanti. Purvesham Purvajai Kritam. Atra. In this matter,
Pramanam,
evidential facts,
he,
certainly,
Bhavan,
yourself, Parameshti,
Brahma,
the creator of the universe,
Yata,
as,
Atmabahu,
born directly from the Lord.
Born
Apare.
Apare.
Others.
Others.
Cha.
Cha.
Only.
Only.
Antistanti.
Antistanti.
Just to follow.
Just to follow.
Purvisham.
Purvisham.
As a matter of custom.
As a matter of custom.
Purvajai.
Purvajai.
Knowledge suggested by a previous philosopher. Kirtam.
Having been done.
Translation, purport. O great sage, you are as good as Brahma, the original living being. Others follow custom only, as followed by the previous philosophical speculators. It may be argued that Sukadeva Goswami is not the only authority of perfect knowledge and transcendence because there are many other sages and their followers. Contemporary to Vyasadeva, or even prior to him, there were many other great sages, such as Gotama, Kanada, Jaimini, Kapila, and Ashtavakra, and all of them have presented a philosophical path by themselves. Patanjali is also one of them, and all these six great rishis have their own way of thinking, exactly like the modern philosophers and mental speculators. The difference between the six philosophical paths put forward by the renowned sages above mentioned and that of Shukadeva Goswami as presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that all the six sages mentioned above speak the facts according to their own thinking. But Shukadeva Goswami presents the knowledge which comes down directly from Brahmaji, who is known as Atmabhu, or born of and educated by the Almighty Personality of Godhead. Vedic transcendental knowledge descends directly from the Personality of Godhead. By his mercy, Brahma, the first living being in the universe, was enlightened, and from Brahmaji, Narada was enlightened, and from Narada, Vyasa was enlightened. Shukadeva Goswami received such transcendental knowledge directly from his father, Vyasadeva. Thus the knowledge being received from the chain of disciplic succession is perfect. One cannot be a spiritual master in perfection unless and until one has received the same by disciplic succession. That is the secret of receiving transcendental knowledge. The six great sages mentioned above may be great thinkers, but their knowledge by mental speculation is not perfect. However perfect an empiric philosopher may be in presenting a philosophical thesis, such knowledge is never perfect because it is produced by an imperfect mind. Such great sages also have their disciplic successions, but they are not authorized because such knowledge does not come directly from the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. No one can be independent except Narayana. Therefore, no one's knowledge can be perfect, for everyone's knowledge is dependent on the flickering mind. Mind is material, and thus knowledge presented by material speculators is never transcendental and can never become perfect. Mundane philosophers, being imperfect in themselves, disagree with other philosophers because a mundane philosopher is not a philosopher at all unless he presents his own theory. Intelligent persons like Maharishi Pariksit do not recognize such mental speculators, however great they may be, but hear from the authorities like Sukadeva Goswami, who is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the Parampara system, as especially stressed in Bhagavad Gita. So we're hearing again about the importance of disciplic succession, parampara. In Kali Yuga, it's said at least three times, so at least three times in this chapter, we've been discussing the importance of hearing directly from the Supreme Lord through this chain of disciples. Now, in the purport, it's describing that some people have imperfect minds, imperfect senses. Now, this is a little hard to swallow for some people. Besides, I'm right. You're wrong. No one's going to tell me any different. My conclusions are always absolute, so therefore I don't need to listen to anybody else. So this is the popular mentality of the conditioned soul, that they are not imperfect, that they are perfect. But conditioned souls, they have so many limitations. Therefore, they're not accepted. For instance, a couple of weeks ago, a big package arrived. It was a shed that we had ordered for the eco farm. And I had two big, huge boxes with, you know, floor pieces and sides and everything. I looked at the picture and I go, a piece of cake, we can put this together, no problem. So Jaini Tai and I, we just, you know, get out the pieces, put them in all and kind of in the order that we thought they should be in, and we go to it. We start, well, this must go here, this must go there. And about halfway into it, completely wrong. So we go, okay, where are the instructions? So we surrender, we get out the instruction manual, and had to take the whole thing apart that we'd done and start all over. And do you think we learned a lesson? No. No, we get really confident in ourselves. Well, this goes here and this goes here. And then we realize that we'd put it around backwards. That we, anyway, it took us 2 days to put the thing together. And humbling, you know. All we had to do was rely on the knowledge of someone who has the knowledge, which is the manufacturer. But even in the middle of it, we go, they must have made a mistake. Look at, there aren't enough pieces. I mean, there's no way. We should call them up and find out what's wrong. slapped in the face and then realize, oh, well, that's because we, you know. Anyway, this is how it goes when you don't have that perfect source or you don't take advantage of it. So from Krishna to Brahma to Vyas, we have it, a perfect order. All the way back to the perfect source, Krishna. How can we go wrong? We're all spiritual infants. We're fresh out of the womb. Now we're in our human form of life, and we've got this big brain and intelligence, and we're thinking, I can figure it all out. I just have to sit down and figure out the absolute truth. And we speculate, and we speculate, and we waste this human form of life because we haven't gone to the source. So this is, we're born in darkness. I think on Bhakta.Godhead it says, nescience is darkness and light is Godhead. So Godhead, why can't we just go to the Godhead, to Krishna, and receive the proper enlightenment to find out who we are and what we should be doing? There's actually a movie that I saw one time, and it was about a blind person. And everything was so much in order in their house that it was like they could see everything. They knew exactly where everything was, and you know, lights on, lights not. They were in the darkness, but they were light. They had knowledge of every single thing in their house. Sometimes I play a game when I go into my house that I go this and it's dark, and I try to make my way somewhere, and I think, yep. And like after a while, you can figure out because everything is already, you know where it is. And then sometimes you leave something in the middle of the thing and you fall over, right? So Prabhupada has put, along with the disciplic session, has put everything in order for our spiritual advancement. We can go from this understanding to that understanding gradually with the help of the six Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya, by taking the holy name seriously. By taking our sadhana and what Prabhupada has given us, we can begin to clear our vision and actually see what this absolute truth is. Now here we have 10,000 or more sages that have come from all over the universe coming here to hear from the proper source, from Sukadeva Goswami, who it's described here in the last sentence that He's as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shakshad, Reed, and Astamasta Shastra. So he is worshipful and he's worth sitting and listening to. These 10,000 sages, they're not going to pick and choose what they like to hear from him. And, that sounds good, but that doesn't sound good. And they're not going to change anything because they realize that this, I'm hearing from the perfect source. And therefore, they take it in perfectly. And this is a way to receive the realization. Actually, if you look at the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, I think Sri Shripanishad also, Prabhupada stresses, you want to read this book? Read it in the proper way. Have faith. Just go into it. Have the faith that this is absolute. And then you're going to make some advancement. And you're going to relish it. And you're going to actually cleanse your heart. It's going to work. If you just go into it saying that, yes, this is absolute. And therefore, it's described, well, Prabhupada calls it Bhagavad Gita as it is, because it is directly from the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada even admitted that I didn't write these books. Krishna did it. So what more do we want? So Srila Prabhupada, he was expert in delivering the message. He had special twists to it, and he maybe adjusted the amount of rounds we chant and things like that. But he did it because he realized that the potency is there. He can give us that potency. Not that we can go for it, we can figure it out ourselves, that we have it, the potency to understand, but it's through Prabhupada and through the disciplic succession that we can link up properly and receive that direct and continuous mercy from this Supreme Lord. But Prabhupada, he didn't compromise on anything. It's not like he changed anything. He gave it to us authorized way. But it's not so easy always to find that authorized person, to find that great Mahatma. Bhagavad Gita says they're very rare personalities. And so many people do get misled. Here it's mentioning these six great thinkers. Some of them we might be familiar with, some of them I don't know much about. But they weren't thinking the way Krishna thought. They had their own philosophical speculations. There's Jaimini, he's responsible for the Mimamsa philosophy, which is stresses the ritual of realization. And Kanada, he's the Nyaya school, which is, I guess, they study the atoms and the science. It's a scientific understanding of the universe and trying to figure it all out through that way. And then Patanjali is stressed the strictness of the yoga system. And then Kapila was Sankhya. And there's so many Eastern philosophers. And these are actually still prevalent, some of them today. You can look it up and study them, and they have their followers. And then even more so, the Western philosophers, we have a big, long list of Western philosophers that through their imperfect little brains, they've tried to figure it all out. But Prabhupada said, you want to be cheated? There's many cheaters out there. And you want to pay less for something? You're going to get less. I mean, we've all had that experience. You pay a little bit less for something, you're going to get that deal. But then it breaks, it falls apart, it wasn't what you expected, but that's what you get. You inspect, if you don't inspect it, then you get what you expect. So this is important that we realize that these different philosophies are short of the absolute truth, some by a long shot. So we have to realize that Prabhupada didn't accept any other substitutions. He didn't add any. He didn't subtract anything. He didn't mix or change anything. Therefore, very, very potent. So Prabhupada was very protective of us from these other philosophers. Even when he was telling us the story of the Ramayana, we wanted to hear, more of the details and everything. And he said, he gave us direction, go to Valmiki's Ramayana. He kind of shunned the other ones with Tulsi Das or some other ones. He was very protective of us. Even there were some movies coming out, Indian movies about Krishna's pastimes at that real early. And he said that this man, this producer, he actually was a very wonderful devotee and he had good intentions. And so that was okay. So he was very keen on sifting through what was good for our spiritual advancement and what was not. Because our brain's very fertile, very, very innocent to this, not knowing anything really. So innocent. So Prabhupada was very protective, and we can thank him for that. It saved us a lot of time and headache trying to pick and choose. In 1970, when I joined, there was two incidences that Prabhupada had to really chastise us because we got off and we started speculating. And that was the Gopi Bhava club that they made, trying to step above, you know, the philosophy, thinking that we can go higher, we can learn more, we can figure it all about this wonderful, you know, Bhava of the gopis. And Prabhupada heard about it and just, you know, set off a flare and stop this, you know, and because this was not healthy for us. It was not in the disciplic succession, not in our regular way to learn. And then the one that when Prabhupada really hit the fan, I believe that was 1972, was when some of the leaders of the movement thought too much. They thought way beyond what the scripture said, and they thought that Prabhupada was God. And that was like, okay. Prabhupada was ready to pack his bags, shut down the movement. Instead, he just shipped them out. Because this was against what Vyasa, what Lord Brahma, what's in the scriptures. So he had to spank us hard. And it was a spanking that this movement, you know, needed and learned from. Can anyone remember when they were spanked? I can remember when I was spanked. The only time I was ever spanked, I remember, because we were having a fight in a fort, and I hit my, instead of using guavas as weapons, I used a big grapefruit. I hit my sister in the head and about knocked her out, and I was afraid to go home. And it got to be dark, and I guess my parents were really worried. And when I came in, that's the only time I ever got spanked. But I remember it, you know. So we can remember when Prabhupada was so angry because we got off the mark. We went a whole different route, and he didn't tolerate it. So sometimes we do need that spanking. We don't need to take part in this, you know, this telephone game we used to play as kids. You know, we would go into one ear and say something, and then they would go into another ear, and because they weren't hearing properly, they would start saying something a little different. By the time it got down to the other end, it was like a whole different subject, a whole different thing. And we would laugh and have a good time. It was funny, you know, where it came from, you know, how different it was. But this is not laughing business when you come to scripture, when you come to the disciplic succession. This is extremely serious because it's a contamination. There's pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. He would say you shouldn't even see the face of a Mayavadi. And one time he had some kind of association with one, and he ran and jumped in the Ganga to get cleansed of it. That's how important it is that we don't hear from this. Advaita Acharya Prabhu, he was getting praised by Lord Chaitanya, being respected too much, and because he was senior. And so he says, I can't stand this anymore. Lord Chaitanya is a supreme person. You know, I have to get some chastisement by him. So what did he do? He knew what nerve would hit Lord Chaitanya on the bone. And he just went and started speaking the philosophy of Mayavadi to a bunch of people he gathered together. And then someone went over and told Lord Chaitanya, do you know what Advaita Acharya is doing over here? And Lord Chaitanya came and I think he kicked him, didn't he? He got him and he chastised him so hard that his Advaita Acharya's wife said, you're going to kill my husband. You know, and Advaita Acharya was, this is nectar, getting beaten by the Lord. So this was, Lord Chaitanya was, you know, keen on not hearing this contaminating philosophy. So we should understand the importance of it. There's a wonderful story that Lakshmani told many times, but it's so funny that I have to tell it again. That she was in Dallas, and that Kalachanji had been installed. And she was in there cleaning, and Papa was at the temple visiting. And she was cleaning, and she found this box. And in it, it had the original eyes that came with Kalachanji, and they were the conch shell eyes. And so she thought, I've heard that Prabhupada really likes deities with the conch shell eyes. And Prabhupada's here, so I'm going to go ask him if he, maybe what, we should change them. And so she went in and was talking to Prabhupada and said, you know, I found these eyes in your I heard that you liked conch shell eyes. And Prabhupada said, no, everything is fine the way it is. And so she was sitting there and she felt really concerned about this, you know, that Prabhupada really might like this. So again, she says, but I heard that you really like, we can change them, it's okay. And then for somehow, he said, no, I like it just the way it is, it's fine. And then somehow or other, she says, she said it a third time. And Prabhupada goes, I am Prabhupada, and I say that it is perfectly all right. So even the Prabhupada said stories, you know, that hear it from the source, you know. And so she had to hear it, you know, and get spanked and also. So this we should try to realize that. The Bhagavad Gita as it is, so we should always make sure we say, especially in preaching, Bhagavad Gita as it is. We wouldn't want Prabhupada to get upset because it is different from the other Bhagavad Gitas. Sri Prabhupada, he put his blood and sweat and tears, hours of his life into making these books, letting Krishna flow through him for our benefit. So we should hear it and absorb it and realize that it is non-different than the Supreme Lord. It's our daily supplement for spiritual advancement. Every day, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, we have to hear Bhagavatam every day and Bhagavad Gita every day to make sure that we get cleansed of any kind of doubts that we might have. Because doubts are demons. I'm totally satisfied with my bookshelf. All it has is Prabhupada's books on it. I don't need anything else. Do you need anything else? No. We have everything we need to know. We just have to absorb it. So Prabhupada, he suggested that we not only hear and absorb, but we also repeat the knowledge as we've heard it. And this is such a maha cleanup of the heart when you go out and you actually have to repeat what you've heard. Because it, somehow or other, it has to generate from your mind and your heart. So it has to. You have to have that confidence that this really is the truth to be able to really present it in a powerful way. And therefore, Prabhupada said also we should write our realizations, because this also is very strengthening that we do believe in this philosophy with our heart and soul. Recently, we went to a program. It was a college program at a college in Ocala, and it was comparative religion class at night. And we hadn't been on, it was Manmati and I and Rasa Mehta, we hadn't been on a preaching program, I guess, since COVID or something. And it was like, I was really rusty, you know? Because if you don't repeat things, you know, all the time, if you're not preaching all the time, you can get, you know, kind of out of practice. And so it actually, you know, I realized that I need to preach much more because it does give you that realization and that strength. So we have to be constantly, you know, removing the obstacles in our path to really reach the goal of understanding Krishna. Otherwise, we can, if we don't preach, then the philosophy can get stale to us. Oh, I've heard it so many times, you know, you don't even think about the philosophy sometimes. You just, you know, especially the people that are born in the movement, you know, they don't have to think of the philosophy. They're just born into it. But you need to study it. You need to understand it. You need to repeat it. And therefore, it becomes absolute in your own heart. So we have to pay a little bit more this lifetime. Don't go for the cheap stuff, you know. Pay a little bit more and we get the best, definitely the best. We have to pay a little more with surrender. It's not always easy to surrender. You know, it's difficult, just like Mukhi, I think, was mentioning yesterday, to encouraging us to give for the festival. She says you have to separate yourself from your money. You know, she mentioned that. And sometimes it is hard to pull away, you know, that money to put it in the hundi. But these attachments and everything, they even our different thoughts and our speculations of the philosophy, they will bind us again to this material world. And they won't release us so we can actually go back to Godhead. So we have to get free from that. And then we're going to get the cream. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the shag, the cream, the essence, the top, most richest knowledge of the absolute truth. When you go into the store sometimes, you look and you look at the milk, and you can practically see through the zero. It has like 5%, 10%, 0%. It's like you can look through it. It's like water. What good is it? It's not milk. It's like worthless old garbage. And so in the same way, we have to pay to get that cream, that heavy cream, you know. One little thing is like $6 or something. And but it makes a difference. It makes a difference to your preparations. And it makes a difference in our preparation to go back home, back to Godhead, to have this Srimad Bhagavatam imbibed in our hearts. And we're so lucky to have it in its purest form because we have this disciplic succession that's so intact. And so now it's our duty to also keep it intact. With everyone we meet, with everything we say, we are representing that. So these are some thoughts maybe someone would like to add to it.
I have a question.
Okay. There's going to be a microphone coming around.
I was thinking for such a nice class. I was talking with someone yesterday regarding like the preaching field and book distribution, and they had raised the concern that not that the philosophy would get stale, but they had concerns about maybe parts of the philosophy being outdated, and they had presented a question to me that, you know, did I think that, you know, like every 10 or 20 or 50 years that Srila Prabhupada's books should be like neutralized? Like,
whoa, you should go run in the Ganges and go get purified during this person.
And I had responded, well, Srila Prabhupada's not neutral. I said, you know, like, there's other books you can go to that are like potato salad, and Srila Prabhupada's like sweet, spicy chutney. And but I just wondered if you had, like, if someone presented you that question, like, what would a better intelligent answer be to
these
like
books
that?
Have been around thousands and thousands of years. There's the authenticity of it right there, that they're still being read, they're still being realized, they're still potent. So how can we doubt it? I never heard of Krishna before, you know, and within, you know, a few hours I surrendered to Krishna, you know, because I could, there's some potency in what Prabhupada is presenting. So that's one thing. Because they are old, they're good. Some of the best things are old. And here we have them. You know, as George Harrison said in the Krishna book, you know, the taste of the pudding is in the eating. Challenge that person to read all Prabhupada's books and see if they don't think differently afterwards, and to practice them. That makes a difference.
Srila Prabhupada also said that his books are the law books for mankind for the next 10,000 years. That's a long time to be relevant.
Yeah. What does that mean, it's law book?
Presenting the guidelines and do's and don'ts and how to achieve ultimate success, and, you know.
How to become perfect
in human life.
Perfect knowledge.
Perfect knowledge.
Yeah.
Vaisheshika, that's a school of philosophy. What is that?
I don't know. My head doesn't go to these other philosophers. I'm just so satisfied here. And it just seems like it's all...
Atomic is the combination of...
I see. I'm...
You mentioned about Nai. Yeah, Kanada. Actually, Gautama. It's not Vaishnava. Gautama logic. Enjoy as a matter and spirit like this. Vaisheshika is Kanada philosophy.
Yeah, that's what I said. I didn't say what Gautama did.
Yeah. I have a question. I mean, I heard this many times, but I always thought about it. Like in Purport, Chaitanya Chaitanya Adilila, chapter 4, Prabhupada writes, Sahajiyas are bad. Then he says, it is worse when our man will take. I say, what? Our man will take? Mean Ishkon, some devotee will really pick up Sahajiyasam? I got a little scared. So in your class you mentioned about, you were there in Gopi Club in Los Angeles? Can you
I don't know much about it. I was in Denver, so I don't know what was going on. All I heard about it, and I go, this is a weird thing going on here.
No, but what it is that displeased Prabhupada? Exactly what it is? I'm just curious.
That it wasn't according to his instructions to do anything like this.
Like what? What?
Like, I don't know exactly what they did, but they discussed all the Gopi philosophy. I don't think, the Krishna book had just come out. So, I mean, what knowledge do they have about gopis or anything, you know, that all they've said, do you know much about it?
I heard that they were saying, well, we don't need to study Bhagavad Gita. That's what I've heard. I don't know. I think Chaturanga Prabhu would be the one to ask, because I think, no, or was he into another one?
Pushkar was into, he knew, no, he knew a lot.
Prabhu who was involved, but I never met him.
Anyway, it was off the mark. I mean, it was not where Prabhupada had us going. They went off on some tangent about the gopis. And they didn't even, I mean, Bhagavad Gita had only been out a couple of years, but I'm sure they hadn't studied all of that, or the Krishna book by any means. So they were way beyond their thinking and understanding.
The reason I'm asking that in future, if something pops like this, so we can be also cautious.
Yeah.
But if we don't know exactly what this place Prabhupada, it will be difficult. Just an idea, hoping Bhava Club is bad. But what is it? I don't know. So that is difficult for me.
That's around. It's acting beyond one's realization. I mean, you don't
do this every day.
I mean, Prabhupada also, you know, showed us people that came in the temple in Vrindavan that were putting on a show and everything. So, I mean, we should be cautious of things like that. I mean, it should set off a little alarm in us that we should be questionable about it. It doesn't hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, Haribol. Our greatest challenge in this day and age is not so much the philosophers, but the scientists, see? We have to understand most of the world, actually 80-90% of the world are influenced by them. So that's our greatest challenge. And so it's good to know the dominant scientific theories and how we can falsify them. See, that's our challenge. Philosophers, Indian Mayavadis, you know, I mean, they're there, but we luckily, don't have too much opposition from them.
Yeah, luckily we have our science department over here that can take up any challenge.
I mean, this is an expert who knows nothing
to
about science.
Dare you to ask Srinivasa question.
But if there's a philosophy that uses science, and the real problem is the philosophy. There's people who use science and then make a philosophy that is, you know, they have an atheistic philosophy and then they use science. So the science itself is like, you know, the problem is they say, the Second Amendment people, the problem's not the gun, it's the person using the gun.
We'll let Skita Deep take care of all those scientists.
Hare Krishna. I also have a thought about this Gopi Bhava Club. You know, when Bhaktisan Saraswati came to Vrindavan on Radha Kunda, and supposed to be great devotees there, but he started explaining Sri Shopanishad, and they were shocked. why did you come to the most holy places in the world and talk about Sri Shopanishad? Mm-hmm. Bhaktisan Saraswati never teach about Gopi Bhava, yeah. So Srila Prabhupada just follow him.
I think he did that for days on end too. People kept thinking, well, when's he going to get to the juicy stuff? Mm-hmm. But
Yeah, Bhakti Siddhanta is a perfect example.
Another thought I had about following the disciplic succession. When, you know, from my experience, when I not just hearing and reading Srila Prabhupada's book, but when I know that I have to talk about it, then I have to be more responsible that what I'm saying and how I act. So I just want to encourage all the devotees to talk, because we have so many senior devotees, and when they know they have to talk, they have their behavior changing in a right way. Otherwise, they don't feel responsible. Well, I just come and hear and do this, do that. Nobody cares about me. But, you know, you have to understand, you are senior devotees, and you have to give example to the second and third and fourth generations to do that. So in order to others see how we should follow them. So I just want to encourage, for example, for me, before I give in class, I just don't care what I'm doing, what I'm hearing. But when I need to talk about it, I have to be responsible that what I talk about and how I behave, that's giving me more strictness to the principles of that Srila Prabhupada gave us.
Yeah, that's the meaning of acharya, one who preaches by example. So Prabhupada said we should all become spiritual master in that regards. And so clean up our act before we speak.
Hare Krishna. So I've heard that, you know, when your eyes move, your mind moves. And while doing japa, we know that our mind sometimes gets wandered around. And I wanted to know if it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, a way to do japa where you can focus only on Krishna while doing japa, rather than, you know, focusing on other things and getting distracted while doing japa and just making it a mundane activity.
Yeah, there should be a sacred place and a sacred time. And for everyone, it's pretty much an individual thing, because everyone's mind is different. So some people who have a very restless mind might need to pace back and forth. Some people can sit very quietly and just look at a picture of Krishna. Some people can close their eyes, but I would fall asleep if I did that. And so it depends on the person to accept what's favorable for devotional service. So accept what's favorable for japa. And you'll find all different kinds of... Everyone has a different way to do it. But you should be very sensitive to that. If you find yourself really spacing out, and then you try to figure out what it is. But, you know, I have a hard time finding anywhere to go on this property, because I'm engaged in so many things on the property that I start thinking about what I have to do over there, and I have to do over there, and in the kitchen. And so, you know, It depends on what your service is and where you live and what it is that can calm down your mind. What will make your mind go in a closet somewhere and for that time, you know? So you might need to go in a closet sometimes even. So, yeah. So you might get help from other people that on an individual basis, they might give you some advice. But I know, I remember I was in the temple and someone was saying, can we, it was Vishnu John Maharaj. He asked Prabhupada, well, can we chant silently? Can we chant our japa silently? And he goes, okay, go ahead and try. And so after about a couple of seconds, Prabhupada says, no, out loud. So it's important to hear. Yes.
What's the question about that chanting and controlling the mind? And what Prabhupada ended up saying is the secret to chanting is to hearing. If you focus on the hearing, and every time the mind drifts away, you bring it back, and you want to hear the mantra, you don't need anything other than that. One of the devotees said, as Prabhupada said, is it okay if we look at a picture and stuff? Prabhupada said, yes, that's very good. He said, but you focus on the sound vibration, because the sound vibration enters the heart and purifies the heart. So it's the sound. So every time the mind drifts, you just bring it back. You hear it. You hear it. You don't let it drift away. You just go from the mouth directly into the ear.
And that was, you know, that's the way Prabhupada described it. It's the sound vibration that you want to focus on. The mind will always drift, but if you remember that you have to hear the sound, and that was his focus on as far as the chanting.
I think you recommend sometimes if your mind is bothered, then chant louder. Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Yeah.